This has been an incredible week of mission. Mission team that was here sitting over in this area last week, remember the Missouri team? They came in and worked at Sharon at Children's Ministry, Children's Church. You can go follow the leader out there, Miss Catherine. And as they clear the way, we're going to continue on. There has been a mission team here for the last week that came and served at Sheridan Parkside. They came all the way from Missouri. I don't know how many hundreds of miles that is, but all the way south of St. Louis, all the way up here, and just a simple team that came and did just simple work of working with our children at Sheridan Parkside and replaced every window in our Sheridan Parkside facility. Pretty cool, right? Amen. That's great. They sent the money up ahead of time. We didn't know that the windows were actually going to get here because of manufacturing issues, but they showed up virtually one day before they showed up themselves. The windows got here Friday, and they came on Saturday. The people came on Saturday. So God provided that. He provided the money through them, and he provided this amazing ministry team. At the same time, we have a guy down here, as well as others, but Brian and Steve in the back, Stephen, and some of our other youth participated in 8 Days of Hope. Perhaps next week, are you going to be around next week to be able to give a testimony? No, they're not going to be there. 8 Days of Hope is a 8 days, go figure, of ministry in Buffalo. We've talked about this. You saw a video of this several months ago. And Steve Tiber and the group from 8 Days of Hope have been working in the Lovejoy District all week long, thousands and thousands of people. Did you ever get a word as to how many, Brian? Did you? I can't remember if they said it when I was in there. Okay, so 480 families. What were we saying? Okay, so close to 500 families in Buffalo were served in some capacity, roofs and all painting jobs and all kinds of things that were done in that Lovejoy District. This is the 4th year that they've been here, and we've participated with some of, most of those. I have been a part of them. And so now hundreds and hundreds of families in all these districts have been helped throughout these years, and they'll continue to do this. It's a great ministry, great mission opportunity. What else has happened? Over here, we have a family that lost one of you. You sent her away, right? What happened? Maggie was sent off to South Africa on Tuesday, was it? Tuesday night? So we got to be praying for her. She's gone for about a month. 1 month she's going to be away serving with other students and such in South Africa. So that's really cool. We'd be praying for Maggie Beaton, okay, as that goes on. As well, we have, I feel like I'm just keep on talking here, but Kayla's around here someplace. Kayla, she's hiding up there against the curtains. And Kayla, as Scott already mentioned, is preparing. This has been very sudden. This week she got her airline tickets to head to the Middle East. Pastor Scott, that's not completely correct the way you're saying it. We're just saying the Middle East, and there's certain reasons for that. She's going to be getting into some places that perhaps are not going to be disclosed, but you need to be praying for her because that's a long-term ministry opportunity. She's going to be serving on a farm for several weeks and then heading off to be trained by YWAM for another 6 months so that she can join a workforce in the Middle East. We'll just say it that way. Be praying for Kayla. She's going to be in it. And she needs you to be praying and to know that her family is lifting her up. Ministry and mission is all over the place. Yesterday, some of you participated in Jefferson Avenue Outreach with me. That was amazing. Earlier in the week, on Tuesday night, we had an outreach to Sheridan Parkside. Brand new people coming through. People that are feeling the love of Jesus Christ. Hearing about Jesus Christ, sometimes for the first time. This is the body of Christ at work in the name of Jesus. As we turn to John chapter 14, I don't want you to feel as though I'm just giving you this big commercial for missions or something. John chapter 14, starting in verse 12, Jesus has this little tiny piece that talks about doing things in his name. We're going to read that. But I want you to understand and walk along this. This is just a three or four different verses here. Very, very simple little piece. You know, it's summertime. Our minds are kind of resting. I don't want to give you too much to chew at a time. We've got Celebration Sunday next week. We're just going to be kind of hearing what God's been doing. Hearing back some of these testimonies of what God's been doing. And so today I just want us to chew on a little bit. I want us to think about the name of Jesus. We've been singing about it all morning. And as we go to John chapter 14, starting with verse 12, it says this: I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Oh, Father God, I pray that this is an enlightening aspect of this service, Lord God, that we would just dig in, that we would not have this mind of been there, done that, and that, you know, this is so obvious to us. But Lord God, that you will teach us anew. Help us to consider what it is that your word would say in such a passage as this. There's a reason why you said this, Lord. And I believe it is not as random or as common as we tend to think of it. Help us to be a people who live and work and do greater things than these in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, that's, again, not the right thing. So, Jerry, if you can play some miracles back there. I don't know if it didn't get closed out on my count or whoop, that's not it. I don't generally start with the challenge right off. The fact of the matter is this, you can see this right in your notes that says, not everything said in the name of Jesus is said in the name of Jesus. Sounds like a little riddle there, right? I think you know what I'm talking about, though. I think you're aware of what we're talking about. There are a lot of people who say, in the name of Jesus, I declare, or I say, or I do this in the name of Jesus, and there's nothing about Jesus in it from start to finish. You know what I'm talking about. This is not just simply because the name of Jesus gets abused and gets rallied and it gets cursed and all kinds of stuff, right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about people who step into a situation, and they utilize the name of Jesus in a way that is not appropriate according to what Jesus is saying. Now this, don't mistake it, this is why we say it that way, right? Jesus says, do this in my name. But without thinking, without ever even comprehending what it is that Jesus would be talking about, we use in the name of Jesus in ways that is not appropriate and is not follow the scripture as it is speaking, being spoken. Jesus is not just saying, just use this, and we're going to see this at the end. This is not some kind of incantation. This is not kind of some kind of spell like Harry Potter would, in the name of Jesus. Bada bing, bada boom. It's not that. This has to do with belief, Jesus says, and it has to do with motivation of your heart. It's all in this three little verses. That if you believe in me, ask anything you wish. Now, in the psalmist, it says this. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And when you look at the Bible as kind of encompassing start to finish, Old Testament, New Testament, we look at the gospel as it is presented in the whole scripture, right? When we look at the whole scripture, you have to realize that we are talking about, as we talked about last week, a God who was and is to come, as declared in Revelation. He is the God of the Old Testament, he is the God of the New Testament, he is the God of today, and he is the God of tomorrow. He is the same God who operates in the same principles and same characteristic as he always has from eternity past. And this God, this Jesus, God in the flesh, he says, do this. If you ask it in my name, it will be done. But he says more than that. There we go. He says, I assure you, the one who believes. Doing the works of Jesus, what are we talking about? What did Jesus do? He says, the things that you see me doing, these things you will do, and greater things will you do. Now, what works is he talking about? What was Jesus known for? He's about to die on the cross, right? His 3.5 years here walking on this earth is just about over. And he is, for 3.5 years, walking with his disciples, he has walked in such a way where at this last teaching group of points, right, he says, I have done all this body of work. And greater things than these will you do. These things and greater things will you do. What were the works of Jesus? Healing. Healing blind, healing the lame, such. Teaching, preaching. Casting out demons. Let me go back to the beginning, right? The beginning of the story, turns water into wine. Raises people up from the grave. Now, I don't know. Maybe Jesus doesn't really mean what he's saying here. Is that possible? I think we realize that in this body of believers. That is not the situation. I assure you, truly, truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. So I'm looking at ministry teams, and I'm looking at missions, I'm looking at missionaries, I'm looking at people who have put their feet to the work, I'm looking at a body of believers who have given generously to the causes. I think about my brothers in Burma, who at the loss of their life potentially are planting churches in the jungles. And I look at this, I look at the works that the disciples did once they were filled with the Spirit and they were walking in this, right? And they go off to the ends of the world and they're proclaiming the gospel. And I look at this and I say, what works is Jesus talking about? Because this is the work of Jesus, right? The proclamation of the Word of God wherever we go. And sometimes that's joined by signs and miracles. But the Word of God going forth and the transformation of lives is the work of Jesus. Jesus never did a miracle without transformation being on his mind and heart and the motivation. Transformation to what end? Well, we're going to find out in these short little verses that it is all about the glory of God. How is it possible that somebody can say in the name of Jesus and not mean in the name of Jesus? It's because so many times we in our human flesh, we use the name of Jesus like it's some kind of spell that we cast. Like because we say the name of Jesus, everything that I just went through and everything I did and everything I've said is okay now because I said it in the name of Jesus. Be careful. Be careful, church, because when we go and we prepare and we strategize and we put all the plans down on the paper and then we say, in the name of Jesus, and we haven't even sought the heart and mind of Jesus, that is really, really dangerous ground. We must be a people who believe in the name of Jesus and the person of Jesus and the skill set of Jesus, the strategy of Jesus, the mission and the vision and all of that of Jesus, or else all the rest doesn't make any difference. You can say any words you want and it doesn't make any difference. Jesus is not giving you some kind of like blank check that says you do anything you want and in the name of Jesus, and then it's okay. That's not what he's saying. Nor is the psalmist saying, delight yourself in the Lord and delight in whatever it is that you want. No, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. What is the presupposition? That you are delighting yourself in the Lord. When we speak in the name of Jesus, it is the presupposition that we have actually sought the person of Jesus. Because it has to do with belief, and it also has to do with motivation. This is not our kingdom that we're building. Not here, not out there, not in Costa Rica, not in University of Buffalo, not in the Middle East, not in 8 Days of Hope Buffalo, and whatever ministry you have participated in, Jefferson Avenue, whatever, this is not our kingdom. Our belief is in the kingdom of God. What is Jesus pulling from here? Scott's talked maybe 2-3 weeks ago in John chapter 14. And he says, I'm going from this place. And when I go, I'm going to prepare a place for you. But it's good that I go. The next section of this passage, he's going to start talking a little more specifically about the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. Because once Jesus exits Acts chapter 1, Matthew 28, the Holy Spirit now shows up. And this is why Jesus says, the things that I do, you can do, because my Spirit is within you. And this is why he can say, the things that I do, greater things than these you will do, because there's millions of you. And my Spirit is in every single one of you. Greater things. Can a Hindu come to Jesus? By the true name of Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Can Willow Ridge find Jesus? By the name of Jesus Christ. By the power and the character of Jesus Christ on display. If all we do is display Amherst Baptist Church and we promote, and so this is what we talked about last week. We get so caught up in branding and corporate naturedness of church that it's building your own kingdom, and it only goes so far. And it doesn't bring us to transformation. It basically just fills up a room with a bunch of people who don't want to be transformed. This is the difficulty of kind of having that mindset of, let's build it so they come. Let's just keep on doing this because the more that we can just like show how great we are, the more people will be interested in showing up. Now, if you want to build your own kingdom, that's one thing. If you're talking about the building of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, it begins with belief and it continues on with your motivation. You must believe for faith to do its work in you. And you must understand that there is work to be done. People want to, and we talked about this in the youth ministry recently, but people want to pin faith and works against each other. They work hand in hand. Faith without works is dead, James says. Jesus says, when you have not done it to the least of these, you have not done it unto me. You're cursed. Get away from me. But those of you who don't even realize how much Jesus is pouring out of you, he says, you are blessed. Come unto your rest. You see, there is no settling back and kind of riding the wave of Christianity. The Christian heart of belief motivates us to act and to be and to do and to go to the other uttermost parts of the earth to see people's lives transformed. That's the beauty of missions. You get to plant a seed. You get to get used well by the Spirit of God, and you get changed. You get transformed, and you get to see other people transformed. This is the prayer that we must have for Redeemed Costa Rica, for Acevedo family, for Kayla, for Beedens. The continued work of the Spirit of God moving forward and transforming lives by the name of Jesus. Not because we got better goods than others. Not because we're cooler looking. But because of Jesus. Because our God saves. Because our God gives joy in the morning when there's sadness and sackcloth and ashes all night long. Because he takes a life. I was listening to a guy yesterday at the outreach. I had took a moment to break away, and I took my meal over, and I found a guy just sitting there and sat at a table. And as I usually do, I just asked something about his story. He had a story. He held me there. I think I got sunburned in the meantime, actually. He held me there for a while. He had quite a story. This guy's name is Dave. Big Dave. He'd been in rough spots. He got caught up in gang warfare as a young boy. He went to the military because he thought that would be a good move and get him away from it. It ended up causing him to be a heroin addict in the middle of the Navy. He comes out of the Navy and he's still running. He jumps in and he finds Jesus, some kind of Jesus in the middle of that, tries to get himself right, and he ends up back in heroin in the Army. Ends up getting caught and going to jail. God intervenes and keeps him from going to Leavenworth, but he still comes back and he's still not right. And he keeps on and he keeps on because he cannot find peace in what he thinks. He knows a little bit about this Jesus, but Jesus has not yet transformed his life completely, and so he's wandering. Are you there today? Are you just wandering, wishing for just a little bit more? Struggling to figure out what it is that would bring you purpose and hope. If you're wandering today, just cry out to Jesus. In him, you'll find a belief that is worth taking the risk on. In him, you'll find the purpose, and in him, you will find the joy. How does he do this? Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. How is he going to do it? Because I'm going to the Father. In the early parts of this same chapter, Jesus says, I'm going away. And what he's saying here is, again, he's reiterating, I'm going away and it is good for you. It is good for you for me to go, because when I go, the Counselor will come, and he will fill you. How is it possible that we can do this? Because you have the filling of the Spirit of God, and you can do these things in greater than these. But we must anticipate that there is action to be taken. You've got to move. Not because it's your salvation at stake, No. We are not saved by works. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's nothing that you can boast about. It's nothing you can pat yourself on the back. All the more so, you've been saved so that you may become a workman as you have been created to be, right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are God's workmanship, created to do good works, created to do good works that have been prepared for you since the beginning, before you ever were, those were prepared for you. So Dave, whatever you've been through and all this stuff, he sits there today and he says, I have come to know Jesus, and he is rejuvenated. He is alive. He sits there today across from me over the table yesterday, and he says, I found Jesus, and he changed my life. Didn't go as I thought. It was a transitional, it was a process of time, but he sits there today as a man of God who knows who Jesus Christ is and the joy that he brings. Amen? That's good news. That you can screw up a whole lot of your life, and the gospel never changes. The Spirit of God is chasing after you, calling after you, wanting you, and he takes what you thought was your own works, and he says, that's garbage. Get rid of that. I don't want your works. Your works don't make you look any better to God. But my works in you, the works you do in my name, Jesus says, that brings glory to the Father. Whatever is asked in Jesus' name, that is the motivation. The motivation of building the kingdom and the glory of our God, that is the only good motivation for doing good works. If any of us are doing any of the things that we've talked about today, Uruguay, Costa Rica, Middle East, 8 Days of Hope, on and on, Jefferson Avenue, if we're doing it and we're trying to build up a better name for ourselves, a better name of recognition, we are again in troubled waters. Because our God does not operate like that. Our God will not be manipulated by our good works or our good attempts to try to get him to look better at us. It doesn't work like that. He is God, unmanipulatable. He is and was and is to come the same God, powerful, holy, separate unto us. And he will not be manipulated or changed. He will not be mocked. It is for his glory and his kingdom that we do these things. That's your motivation. That's my motivation. I don't stand here before you week after week to build up a name for myself. It's meaningless. You take the greatest name that has ever been, something that everybody knows. They have a new movie about Napoleon. He at his time was well known. You ask about Napoleon today, he was the emperor of the world, basically. You ask about today, I bet most people can't get 3 facts correct about Napoleon. About Michael Jordan, he was pretty top dog in his day, right? And my kids are like, say, what? Who's that? Next generation comes, they don't know. Maybe Sam does. Sam kind of knows. He's a sports guy, right? Next generation, his kids won't know, though. The reputation of this world is meaningless. You look at Adrian Rogers, one of my favorites, right? Some of you are like, Adrian who? Great preacher of God. He was on the radio forever and ever. He was there for dies of cancer maybe a decade or so ago. Name recognition out the window. I don't care if you're talking secular, you're talking spiritual. There are certain people that you will say, but I would bet you that 99% of the population of the world has never heard of that person, and 99.999 has never heard of me, never heard of Amherst Baptist. They don't care. But the name of Jesus, that's powerful. That's recognizable. That's memorable because that name changes everything. That name, when you use it the way Jesus is talking about, has the ability to move mountains, has the ability to destroy cancer, and to make a lost person whole. Take a man in prison and bring him to Jesus. Take a heroin addict and bring him to his lowest so that he can see Jesus. That name, not our name, not Sharon Parkside, not Amherst Baptist, not your name, not my name. We don't have any way of doing that. But in Jesus, with his glory, his kingdom as our motivation, that's powerful. Look what Isaiah chapter 48 says. He says, I will rescue you for my sake. Our God saves. Love it. Love the song. I think I actually asked for it. Our God saves. He will rescue for his sake. God's sake, he will rescue you. Not for your sake. He saved my soul for his sake. Yes, for my own sake, he says with exclamation. I save you. I am the Redeemer for my sake. What does he mean? I will not let my reputation be tarnished, and I will not share my glory with anybody. This says idols. Some versions say, I will not share my glory with another of any kind. And we think we're going to steal some of that glory for Amherst Baptist or 8 Days of Hope or something like that. That's not the way the kingdom works. If you're speaking in the name of Jesus, your motivation wholeheartedly, 100%, has to be the kingdom and his glory. So quickly, what is the passage? What is this passage is telling us about prayer and the works of the Spirit? First of all, prayer, as he is speaking about this, speaking things in the name of Jesus. This is not about me trying to find new ways of praying or me trying to figure out what it is that I really, really want to see done and then get God to come on my side. That's not prayer. If you've learned to pray that way, you better unlearn it fast, because prayer is not about him agreeing with you. It's about you and your spirit and your desires agreeing with him. The unmovable, holy, inseparable, or I should say separated, but undividable God of the Trinity. Communication of agreement. What is that? But we don't take the time to even hear what he's saying, much less take the time to agree. We just know what we want. And so we pray in error. And we're mystified when God doesn't show up and do what it is that we ask him to do. That's not praying in the name of Jesus. Praying in the name of Jesus is listening, beckoning, hearing the word and the voice of God so that we can say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I say yes, and agreeing and moving. And then we act because of that, right? Prayer is submission to the Father's will. His glory, his kingdom, his will. We see this in the Lord's Prayer, right? We should be speaking submission every day of our lives, as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Praise, glory to your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, in this heart of mine, in this church of mine, in this home of mine, as it is in heaven. Submission. Prayer begins with submission. It begins with praise and honor and submission. God, what is it that you want me to pray? What is it that you want me to communicate in this time? And you're like, well, why do we bother even praying then? Because he tells us, communicate an act of submission. Communicate in a way that agrees with me. Because there's power in that. And when you pray in my name, these things you will do, and greater things than these things we will do. And we'll see people come into Christ, and we'll see baptisms, and we'll see the power of Christ spreading across Willow Ridge, spreading across Sheridan Parkside, spreading across Uganda. Uganda? Yeah, that too. Praise the Lord. Robert's over there. Yeah, and Uruguay, and Costa Rica, and the Middle East, and Buffalo, and all the rest, and Jesus will be done. And we will pray in agreement for that, yes? Prayer is active, and it is anticipating more action. You don't pray and say, Jesus, I really hope that you would feed the poor. That really wouldn't work too well for Rachel. Just pray real hard that God feeds the poor. God's like, I'm asking you to put your feet to it. I have moved on account of the poor of that city, and you're it. You're his hands, you're his feet, you're his voice. Whatever it is that God has called you to, move into it. What are we waiting for? If it is prayer for your people in Burma, then pray like never you have before. And pray for the lost in the jungles there in Burma. Pray for those church plants, for Pastor N, and for all the work that's to be done. If it's talking about the Middle East, then pray like you've never prayed before. That is active. Seek the heart of God and activate that. Work. And then when he calls you into it, and he gives that desire a new tweak in your heart, you say, yes, that makes total sense. I've become greater and greater, more sensitive to the things of the people in Willow Ridge. What is he asking you to do in Willow Ridge? What is he asking you to do for your neighbors if you live in Willow Ridge? What is he asking you to put your feet to? Because prayer is rarely, if ever, just, hey, just say some words. I'm really careful about this. And know this, that when I say I am praying for you, if you text me and say I got a prayer, and I say I'm praying for you now, that means two different things. Number one, I am stopping whatever I'm doing, and I'm praying for you now, right now. And number two, it means if I don't pray for you right now, I'm probably going to forget it. And please forgive me. But that's why I'm praying for you right now. Not because you're less important, it's just because we are human, and we have the tendency of forgetting. So when I say I'm praying for you now, I'm talking about right now. And when you reiterate that request to me, I will stop then and there, and I will pray right then and there. That in the name of Jesus, that you will be met by God in whatever situation you are in. And that is also why, if we're on the phone together, and I say, hey, I really want to pray for you, I don't mean after I hang up. We're going to probably pray right then and there. Because again, life gets busy, and we take prayer for granted, and we end up not praying. That being said, I pray for Matthias very, very often, because he's one of my men, right? And when I get out my prayer journal, Matthias and Jason, these are men of God that I pray for ardently, faithfully, consistently. And when their heart breaks, I want my heart to break. Will you pray for me in the same way? Agree with God on my behalf that we would be strengthened. I don't find us to be a very critical group in this church right now, but man, life and ministry can get pretty critical and criticized, as you know. So pray for us. When you feel criticism coming on, pray for each other rather than criticize. Critique? Yeah. I mean, we need to be tweaked. We need to see that we're not speaking truth or something to that effect, that's fine. I'm not saying that. But when you have that hankering just to kind of open up at the Sunday afternoon mealtime, and this is like, did you see? Did you hear? Did you? Let's just say, you know, be that person. Hey, let's stop and pray about that. Let's pray that Jesus is glorified in this somehow. Let's pray that his kingdom is lifted up, and let that be our motivation. It's active. And it's expecting you to be active in your faith. That's what prayer does. Prayer is powerful and unstoppable. I don't think we need to emphasize that at this point. But if you turn to Acts, I want to go down through some really, really quickly. I want you to see, and actually we don't really have time, but you can see these are the scriptures. They're in your notes there. The first thing is that we see that people are baptized in the name of Jesus. That's active. Man, I'd like to do more of that. Talking to my boy, David, he's going to be baptized next week. And I say, you know, we talk about baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, brought up in newness of life to the glory of the Father. There's meaning in those words. It's not just some kind of, you know, just like random saying. No, you're being baptized in Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, you're being baptized. There's power and there's transformation. We see that there's giving in the name of Jesus. Silver and gold I have none, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus. Be generous, be grateful, and therefore generous. The more grateful you are, the more generous you are. The less generous you are, pretty much goes to say, probably the less grateful you are. That's the truth. It's a little principle there. So check your hearts. Okay? Healing in the name of Jesus. He says, Peter's talking to the church people, and he says, you know, this Jesus who you crucified, in that name this man has been healed. And then they go on to tell him later on, and him and John, they say, will you stop teaching in the name of Jesus? And they say, no, thank you, sir. We'll have it our way. We'll have it Jesus' way rather than your way. What is it better, for us to do it your way or God's way? And they have nothing to say. Because when we do these things in the name of Jesus, there's power. When we do it, it just kind of happenstance. I want to show you the consequences. This is an interesting thing. You might want to read this later on. But this is an example of the name of Jesus being used wrongly, and there's great consequence to it. In Acts chapter 19, we see that there is, I'm just going to read it to you because it's fun. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, get that, attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I command you by the Jesus that Paul preaches, and seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were going and doing this, and the evil spirit answered them, listen to this, I know Jesus, and I recognize Paul, but who are you? Can you imagine an evil spirit speaking out of somebody and saying that? See, this goes back to the very first point. There are people who speak the name of Jesus without ever speaking in the name of Jesus. And this is a good example of that. In the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, I cast out the demon. The demon comes and looks at you straight in the face and says, I know the name of Jesus. In other words, you're not saying the name of Jesus the way I know the name of Jesus. And I know Paul, because he speaks the name of Jesus, and he's cast several of us out of people. But you, I don't know you. And that one man, demon-possessed, chased down those seven sons of Sceva and put a hurting on them. We'll just say it that way. You can read it for yourself in Acts chapter 19. But there is danger in trying to utilize the name of Jesus Christ without having the proper belief and motivation in it. Spiritual warfare and the use of Jesus Christ is serious business. Your challenge for today is to ask yourself, how does belief and motivation in speaking the name of Jesus change the way that you pray, and the way that you listen to God, and the way that you act according to His promptings? Father God, I would ask that You would prompt us greatly once again. If You've done it often and we have not been ones to say yes, I pray that You'd do it again. And You'd prompt us and You would push us by Your Holy Spirit, O God. Do Your work in us again. Speak to us again. Change us once again into Your glorious image. From glory to glory, into Your very image, O God, we pray for this church, for Willow Ridge, for Sheridan Parkside, for Costa Rica, for the Middle East, for University of Buffalo, for Uruguay and Uganda, for Buffalo and well beyond. Lord God, we pray Your great name would be declared and that we would act as Your hands, Your feet, Your voice, the very presence of God in this world, we pray that we would be active in doing these things and even greater than these. By Your name, by Your power, we do ask, truly, sincerely, we ask. Amen.